Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but don't you know
we're going to... Yes, we did. We started to burn many things we found. That's the wonderful Gar Williams singing there with Pete Seeger on the Solartopia song. This is Harvey Wasserman here with the Green Power and Wellness Show, segueing in.
The rich got rich.
We'll just listen a bit. There we go. We're with you now today at the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. This is Harvey Wasserman. We are talking right up to the election about election theft and election fraud and electronic voting machines and the possibility that the Republicans, the GOP, could steal the 2012 election. That's actually the title of our new book. I'm on with my co-author, Bob Fitrakis. Bob, are you with us? Bob Fitrakis, are you there? I guess not. Anyway, we have put up a piece today at the freepress.org website, and it is about how 9 GOP governors could steal the 2012 election. And it's another one of those, shall we say, conspiracy theories that is all too true. And I'm just waiting to see. Bob Fitrakis, are you with us there? Hello. I hear somebody.
You hear me, Harvey?
What's that?
You hear me. It's Brad Friedman.
Oh, Brad, you're with us. Okay, good. I'm just looking at your website to try and track you down, and we should be joined by Bob Fitrakis today. Bob Fitrakis is my co-author on the new book, Will the GOP Steal America's 2012 Election? It's an e-book available at freepress.org and harveywasserman.com. And we have the great Brad Friedman. Brad has been blogging on stolen elections since how long, Brad? How long have you had your blog there?
Let's see. Brad Blog's been up since early 2004, and we certainly focused on the 2004 election prior to it, but it was really afterwards, and in no small part thanks to the great work that you and Bob did after 2004 that we really began focusing on the concerns about election integrity in this country.
Right. And you, your website I'm looking at right now. The colors of Notre Dame, I guess, yellow and green, right?
They used to be, yeah, not as much anymore.
But you have a great quote here from Representative John Conyers, who's a friend of Bob Fitrakis, my co-author.
Mm-hmm.
For all your work and your unwavering ability to speak truth to power, Brad, I thank you. That's Representative John Conyers, Senator Barbara Boxer. Thanks to Brad for speaking out and for your passion in fighting for election integrity all across America. You have been called by the New York Times perhaps the most dogged critic of electronic voting machine technology in the blogosphere. And that's good stuff. Good stuff. So I don't know if you saw our piece today.
I haven't gotten to see your piece today. I was just getting out my own today about some new news in up in Minnesota concerning that state GOP's attempt to suppress the vote and a new constitutional amendment question that's going to be on the ballot this November for a polling place photo ID restriction in that state, along with all of these other states who are where Republicans are now attempting to suppress the votes of Democratic-leaning, you know, minorities, elderly, the poor, and students. And it's just getting really ugly out there.
Well, tell us about it. What is the nature of this amendment in Minnesota? Now, Minnesota actually is one of the few states that's 100% paper ballots. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is paper ballots. I think there are a few touchscreen systems for disabled voters as required by federal law, but for the most part, yeah, it's paper ballots. However, what the Republicans are trying to do up there is to keep people from being able to vote in the first place, which, as you know, as well as anyone, is really, you know, the best way to game the system, because if you keep them from voting in the first place, you don't have to flip any votes later, you don't have to manipulate machines or ballots or anything else, you just keep out the people you don't want to vote. In
right.
Minnesota, the Republican legislature up there had passed a new law for polling place photo ID restrictions. That was vetoed last year by the Democratic governor, Mark Dayton. But the legislature decided to work around the governor, and they just passed a constitutional amendment that would go on this November's ballot. And excuse me, but what they did in the bargain was, they put forward a very misleading question for voters to decide on the ballot this November. They were not honest about what this law will really do. And that so that was challenged all the way up to the Minnesota Supreme Court. All the justices who sit on that court were appointed by the former Republican governor, Tim Pawlenty, and they decided to let the question stand as is. That's bad news. Because as of last year, some 80% of Minnesotans who had been, you know, terribly misinformed by the horrible reporting on this matter over the years, 80% had supported the law, including a bunch of Democrats and independents. The good news we have today is that according to a new poll by the Star Tribune up there, support for this constitutional amendment has, quote, cratered in the land of 10,000 lakes. And right now, support has dropped off drastically from both Democrats and independents. There's still a slim majority in favor of that law, or I'm sorry, in favor of that constitutional amendment. But it's getting very, very close. And the way the constitutional amendments work in Minnesota is that they have to have a majority of yes votes to successfully pass the measure. So anybody who votes no or fails to vote at all is essentially voting no as well. So maybe, we'll see, but maybe some good news, at least up in Minnesota, concerning the fight against these Republican voter suppression laws.
Well, what has prompted the public support to drop? Bob Patricus, are you on with us?
Hello.
Oh, hey, Bob. How are you? Okay. I got Brad Friedman here. My co-author and longtime co-conspirator Bob Patricus is on with us. We'll talk about our piece that's up at freepress.org a little later. But right now, Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, the great Brad Friedman, is talking to us about a constitutional amendment designed to disenfranchise both black people in Minnesota. Tell us, why has the support for this constitution, as you say, constitutional amendment, as you say, Brad, cratered?
You know, I don't know that, well, the papers certainly didn't put any data forward as to why that is. I would suggest it's because over the past few months we have seen a lot more attention given to this matter. The law has been blocked by the Department of Justice and by federal courts in places like Texas and in South Carolina, although South Carolina is appealing the rejection by the Department of Justice. And today, as a matter of fact, in federal court, they're having closing arguments in the South Carolina photo ID restriction case. But, you know, it's gotten a lot more attention. You know, I've been reporting on this stuff going back almost 10 years. I've had my hair on fire trying to wake Democrats and progressives and voting rights folks up to what is actually going on with these laws and the systematic work by the Republican Party going back at least a decade to try to create a phony case for, you know, the need for polling place photo ID restrictions. It has been a scam from the jump, and frankly, Democrats and voting rights activists and progressives have been slow to bring this fight back to the Republicans to point out what a scam this is. They're doing a better job now over the past few months, and the media is doing a slightly better job, or at least they're covering it more often. And so I think that you know, Democrats and independents, at least those people who venture away from the fantasy worlds of Fox News and right-wing talk radio, are starting to catch on to this scam, and support for this law is starting to drop off. So that
now,
at least is good news.
I assume that the governor and the other Democrats in Minnesota have been attacking this Constitution Amendment in public.
Well, the Democrat has. I'm not sure where the Secretary of State is on this, because he has to sort of oversee the election. As a matter of fact, one thing he did do was try to change the title of the ballot measure, but he was ruled against by the state Supreme Court, who said, no, you have to leave it as is. The state legislature has the right to decide. State legislature has the right to decide exactly how the measure, the question, will be titled and appear on the ballot itself. And like I say, they put a deceptive. They know, the Republicans know, this law is meant to restrict voters. So they put a very deceptive wording onto the ballot in hopes of tricking voters. If Republicans don't trick voters and or keep them from voting, it seems they simply cannot win elections this year.
Bob, are you going on with that? What are the Democrats, Republicans doing in Ohio to deceive voters? Bob Patricus, are you there? Bob? All right, Brad.
Yeah, I'm here.
We just heard Brad talking about a constitutional amendment in Minnesota that's designed to disenfranchise people up there. Do we have something similar going on in Ohio?
No, actually, you had the exact opposite put on by progressive forces, which was going to overturn perhaps the most restricted bill in the history of the nation for voter requirements. And the Republicans caved in. What you have in Ohio is sort of the beginnings of chaos, usual chaos that the state's famous for. But, for example, last time in the Capitol here where we vote, Harvey, you had at least five major centers, and you could vote at the Board of Election. Now you can only vote on Morris Road and 150 and 161 in an old Kohl's. So they've restricted where you can vote, and it gets real interesting. And also the law is being unevenly applied. No one seems to understand, despite what the ACLU says and what court cases says, people are being asked for types of ID that aren't being required under law. And also, people who have a different address, and this was decided in the court case that Cliff Arnebeck and I brought in the 2008 election early in the day, is that if you show up, you can provide a variety of proof that you're living at your new address. And one of the variety of proofs that you could have is bank statement, government checks, utility bills. And in fact, it was just reported on Saturday that people in that situation are being forced to vote provisionally. So they're sort of illegally forcing people to vote provisionally.
Yeah, we know what happened in 2004 to 90,000 provisional ballots. They were just basically pitched in the trash and never counted. Brad, do you have other states that are trying to do to the right to vote that Minnesota and Ohio has tried and Ohio has tried?
Oh, yeah, this is happening all over the country. I don't think we've seen a concerted effort like this to suppress the vote since the Jim Crow era. This is absolutely remarkable. I'm stunned that more Democrats are not up in absolute arms about what is going on here. All over the country, we're talking about Iowa, Florida, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and I've been very critical of the Department of Justice because they have brought a few challenges to some of these laws in some of the states which are covered by Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which requires that in certain jurisdictions that have a long history of racial discrimination, that new laws be approved in advance by the U.S. Department of Justice or by a federal court panel. They've brought some cases in those covered jurisdictions. However, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act applies to all 50 states, and the Department of Justice has been terrible, in my opinion, as far as challenging these restrictive laws, these discriminatory laws, all over the country in states that are not covered by Section 5 but are covered by Section 2. States like Tennessee, Ohio, Kansas, states that, like Kansas and Tennessee, Barack Obama is probably not going to win those states. However, there are Democrats on the ballot below the president, congressional races, local races, not to mention the simple moral fact that, frankly, I don't give a damn who voters want to vote for. I think if they're eligible to vote, they ought to be able to cast their legal vote. And the DOJ ought to be in there fighting like hell for every goddamn voter in this country, no matter what state they live in, and whether or not they're covered under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act or not.
Well, very well stated. Bob, you are the Green Party candidate for Congress in Central Ohio. How does it affect you and your campaign, this voting rights stuff?
Well, the Green Party, which... the voting rights stuff is obvious. The Green Party believes, as does Pratt, and hopefully the vast majority of Americans, that we should have universal suffrage. We thought we decided this, after a massive civil rights movement in 1965, that we would finally join the democracies in the world. And it's just stunning. But one thing, as the Green Party and the attorney in Ohio for Jill Stein, I would point out that we have ballot status, even if Jill doesn't come in here and campaign. And often the Green Party candidates avoid kind of battleground states and concentrate elsewhere where they're more likely to get votes. But we'll have standing, just like in 2004. Recall, Harvey, it wasn't John Kerry or the Democrats that brought the recount suit in 2004. It was David Cobb of the Green Party and then assisted by the Libertarian Party.
Right. And I want to ask you a question now, since you've raised this. Well, sorry, Brad. Can you tell us, can you give us the answer to the question that Bob and I get asked every day, which is, why would the Democrats allow this election theft to go on unchallenged? We had 2000 was stolen from Al Gore. He never said a word. We had 2004 stolen from John Kerry. He conceded at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now it's all happening again. What is it with the Democrats?
I think there's three answers to that, and I'll let you decide, or I'll let listeners decide which one they think are the most valid. Of course, there was sort of a reaction from some saying that, oh, Democrats are letting this go on because they're stealing elections too. Now, I've seen no actual evidence of that. Maybe they are, but I have seen, no actual evidence to support it in any particular way. I think the better answer is that Democrats, frankly, are scared to death. You saw what happened after 2000 when Al Gore actually won the election in Florida. Still, he and Joe Lieberman at the time, you remember the Gore-Lieberman signs were changed to Sore Loserman, and, they cowed the Democrats into eventually conceding that race. And then in 2004, before any challenge even got off the ground, not only did John Kerry concede, But you saw places like the New York Times joining in with the Republicans, calling people like you and Bob and me conspiracy theorists for simply, you know, asking that there be investigations into what went on. And I think in the years since 2004, I think that, you know, your concerns and my concerns have certainly been borne out, that the Ohio Republicans simply gamed that election in hundreds and hundreds of ways in 2004. And yet, you know, Democrats are called conspiracy theorists if they dare raise these points. Meantime, Republicans raise them all the time when they want to challenge an election. They challenge it. They scream, you know, fraud and everything else. They have absolutely no evidence to back up those claims in most cases, and yet they're not afraid to do it. So Democrats have by and large been cowed. And then there's one third option, which is that, you know, for example, we heard from Michael Nutter, the mayor of Philadelphia, back in 2006, when he was asked about these voting machines. He said, well, the machines are, you know, were good enough to get me elected, so I guess they can't be that bad.
Right.
And
right.
I think a lot of Democrats feel that way. You know, if they challenge the very machines that got them elected, aren't they, in fact, challenging the validity of their own elections in the bargain?
Well, I've got to say that I am proud to be a conspiracy theorist. Just because you're a conspiracy theorist doesn't mean there's no conspiracy, for God's sakes. Bob, what is your take? Have you come up with any reasonable explanations for why the Democrats don't do anything about stolen elections?
Well, no. Well, number one, I think Brad's raised some of the points. As to I'll answer all three of them and give my perspective. As to Dem stealing, I think certain people in the voter integrity movement, in order to create the notion of we're nonpartisan, which I think we are. Our partisanship is towards democracy. Says, look, it could, you know, it's happening on both sides. Now, the reality is the evidence doesn't support that. This is not to say that the Dems won't repress votes and if they had the capacity. You know, I've had Democratic operatives admit to that. And just recently on a reform movement in the city of Columbus, which is a one-party Democratic city, you know, they stole an initiative by doing a feigned tight count at the Board of Election. There were, you know, 28,000 signatures were submitted. They needed 9,100. They got 14,000, but the board said they got 8,300, realizing that by the time we got down there and trying to set up new districts in the city, that we would miss the deadline for challenging, which we did. So, you know, the thing is that the Dems don't have the capacity. If you look at who owns these machines, they're directly tied to the Bush family, Karl Rove, or Republican Party operatives and friends. So the first one, and I think Brad was skeptical of it as well, the Dems aren't stealing. The second one, you know, I think they're a little scared, and I think in the back of the mind, you got Carnahan, you got Wellstone, you got Mike Connell, and a lot of these people, you know, are tied. For example, Sitel, the Spanish company, is tied to Booz Allen. It's tied to the Carlyle Group, and they're tied to people that were all over the CIA and the military-industrial complex. Three, I think you are calling into question the status quo which you're elected under, and I think also you're calling into question the mythology of the American democratic system, how we're the freest and greatest country in the world, and that any time you attack the most cherished myth, you're going to be ostracized. So, I mean, I've had more than one Democratic Party operative here in Ohio say, look, you know, we just got to win by double digits. I mean, you know, they won't come out and admit it, but, you know, they think they're, you know, if they're going to suppress the vote massively, and then if it's close enough, they might shift 5% of the vote. And it's like a gentleman at a certain level, right? If you both belong to Skull and Bones and you're all from the Ivy League, I mean, there's such a thing as a handicap. It's almost like there's an understood handicap because the Republican Party has a certain ceiling, about 60 million voters or so, and the only way they can remain competitive is by massive repressing of the vote and occasional shifting of votes.
Brad Freeman, Brad Barg, what do you think about that?
I've stood up for Republic. I've stood up for, you know, guys like Tea Party Joe Miller up in Alaska when he has been screwed by these voting machines. So to me, this really
is. Here's the guy that they wound up. Lisa Murkowski, right? Beat him on a write-in, allegedly?
Beat him on a write-in and then denied him the ability to actually count the paper ballots to find out who actually won that election. And, you know, and we saw something similar happen, for example, up on June 5th in the Wisconsin recall election of Scott Walker. You know, when the polls closed at the end of the night, all the network news channels said, oh, the exit polls showed us it's absolutely tied. It's neck and neck. It's going to be a long night. We're not going to know until, we may not know until tomorrow morning who actually won and who lost this thing. And then 30 minutes later, they announced landslide Scott Walker. Now, at the time they announced landslide Scott Walker, not a single paper ballot across the entire state of Wisconsin had been counted by any actual human beings. Instead, we relied on the same machines, the same computers, that just 2 months earlier, I mean, the exact same model, which just 2 months earlier down in Palm Beach, Florida, had named three different losing candidates to be the winners in their races in March in Palm Beach County. And we only know that because the election director down there bothered to actually count a few of those paper ballots and found that the computers had it entirely wrong. Now, there's no evidence that someone was trying to steal that election down there, but the fact is these machines get it wrong all the time. Whether it's by malfeasance or malfunction, it doesn't really matter. And as long as we don't bother to count the actual paper ballots that are cast in this country, you know, forget about the third of the country, frankly, that votes on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems. There's nothing you can do about those votes. Whatever the computer says are the results are going to be the results. But when it comes to even the paper ballots in this country, we do not bother to count them. And the fact that bad guys out there, you know, wouldn't take advantage of that, hell, you guys saw it back in 2004 in the pretend recount that the Green Party and Libertarians asked for in the presidential race when in Cuyahoga County, the largest county in Ohio, the election officials gamed the post-election spot check that was required under the recount law. They gamed the post-election spot check, pre-counted those ballots, you know, to put on a show to act like they were counting them. They weren't. And we still do not count ballots at the polling place on election night in front of the public almost anywhere in this country. That allows the bad guys, frankly, to get away with any goddamn thing they want at this point. And if you don't think that Karl Rove and those folks who are willing to spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on this election don't realize that and won't go the extra mile to do what they can, what they need to do to win this election, then frankly, you just ain't paying attention.
All right, we're talking about stolen elections here with Bob Fitrakis, my co-conspirator, publisher of FreePress.org, and Brad Freeman out in California on BradBlog.com. We are going to take a short break here, listen to some music. When we come back, we're going to talk about the possibilities, the likelihood, the reality of whether the GOP, the Republican Party, can steal the 2012 election. We got plenty of stuff up on at FreePress.org and elsewhere, and certainly at BradBlog. And so we'll be right back after this musical interlude.
In their water rooftop garden.
We are back in Solartopia here. We're talking about elections with Brad Freeman of BradBlog.com, Bob Fitrakis of FreePress.org, and we're going to talk now
about what can happen in the 2012 election. All my Soratopia shows from now until the election, and of course the one after it, are going to be about voting, voting rights. I'm going to have Jill Stein will be on with us, a Green Party candidate for president, on October 8th. That's a Monday. We're now on at Mondays at 3 o'clock. Many of you are probably listening to this after the fact, but nonetheless, we are going to proceed to the best experts, the top experts here in election theft in the United States. Brad, we'll start with you. What do you think the chances are that the the book title that Bob Fitzgerald and I have put out there? It's an e-book. We're hoping for a review from you, by the way. Will the GOP steal the 2012 election? What do you think, Brad? Will the GOP steal the 2012 election? And how will they do?
I think the question is not whether they will try, but whether they will succeed. I mean, they are certainly, there is no question, that is what is already in place. That is what they're doing now in state after state. They are trying to steal the 2012 election. No question about it.
What is their primary, what are their two primary tactics?
Well, right now, as I said, I mean, there's sort of two sides of the same coin here. One, if you suppress the vote, if you keep people from getting access to the polls, people who are allowed to have access, who are legal voters, if you keep them from being able to cast their vote, it makes the other side of the coin much easier. The other side of the coin is gaming of the system after the votes are cast. And there are all sorts of ways to do that. You guys certainly showed that back in 2004 in Ohio. By tossing out provisional ballots, challenging them at the polling place so that voters are forced to vote provisionally and then you simply don't count them. But, you know, the greatest threat to elections, as I've been trying to yell and scream for going on 10 years now, is the fact that it takes literally seconds for a single insider to flip the results of an entire election, just a few keystrokes on these computer systems, which are overseen by nobody. The citizens, good luck. If you have a question about the results that come off of one of these computers, good luck being able to verify whether the computer's got it right or got it wrong. So that, to me, ultimately is the gravest threat to elections. I mean, even if you get, you know, if everybody who wants to vote is allowed to vote, at the end of the day, if you don't know whether the results that are announced by the, you know, the magical election fairy, if you don't know if those are legitimate results, that alone is a grave threat to the election. And right now, because of the way we privatized our once public elections, voters simply have no way of knowing whether an election was stolen or not. And that's an exceedingly troubling development, and one that, frankly, has not gotten any better in all of these years that you guys and myself have been covering it. As a matter of fact, it's arguably gotten worse.
Bob Fitzgerald, what's your take on whether the 2012 election can be stolen?
Well, of course it can be stolen. It's, Brad is right. I mean, it's being stolen as we speak. Today people are going down to vote. They've restricted the voting hours to business hours when all the need was for people after work. And some of those people will be told incorrectly that they have to cast second-class ballots when they have proof that they should be allowed to cast the regular ballot. So the voter suppression is going on. You know, True the Vote will be running all over the state, you know, white frat boy Republicans getting in people's faces, challenging them to vote. So the election is already being stolen. But the key point, again, is this privatization of the election. And the bizarrest part, Seidel, the Spanish firm that's estimated to do a final count on 25% of the vote in the United States through contracts signed by election officials, has direct ties to Booz Allen and the Carlyle Group, and people like Woolsey, the former CIA director. So, and everything is protected under trade secrets. And out in Smart Tech, who, you know, the votes was outsourced to in 2004. And by the way, again, somebody in the mainstream media, in this case, of course, Craig Unger, actually got around to looking at what we said and what Brad said years ago. And lo and behold, we're not conspiracy theorists. We're fact-based investigative journalists. The vote was outsourced to the old Pioneer Bank building in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where far right-wing Republican operatives from three companies, Triad, SmartTech, and GovTech, you know, set up a system to count the votes that looked like they were flipped or manipulated on the way back into the state. Now, there's a debate on whether that happened at county central tabulators through Triad sending out its IT workers with patches, or whether there was a man in the middle. To me, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to argue with other people in the election integrity community on who has the best theory on how it was stolen. All we know, it was outsourced with private people, and it was stolen, and the apparatus in place is far more sophisticated. SmartTech has bought up Melissa Data out there in California, this wireless operation. They have, you know, an operation out of Atlanta as well. Choice Point is back in the game as TLO, the last one, XP. You know, you've got Dominion, the spinoff of course, the infamous Diebold operating out of Canada with ties to Command Central, which looks like, you know, the 10% of the votes it counted are probably suspect in the recent Wisconsin recall. At what point, people got to realize, if you have private, for-profit, partisan vote counting companies, they will, in fact, flip the vote because they're private, for-profit, and they're partisan. And there's no way to really catch them. And even if they weren't flipping the vote, we wouldn't get a good vote count. The Election Assistant Commission of the U.S. government found more than 10% of the vote in a recent Cleveland election on OptiScan machines were counted for the wrong candidate. And this happens over and over again. It's faulty technology. There's no way to verify it, and people are going to take advantage of that. And even if they're not, you know, look, 95 to 100% of the people in Cleveland, you know, probably 95 to 98% are going to vote for Barack Obama. If 10% of the votes are assigned wrong, that's going to Romney.
And, you know, I'll go even further to say that, you know, even if the ballots are counted correctly by these computer systems, the fact is there is no way for the citizenry to know that they have been counted accurately. To me,
or inaccurately.
Or right. Inaccurately, that's right. I mean, to me, that is, in and of itself is a grave threat to elections. We've seen, you know, over the past decade or so, more and more elections where you've got people yelling fraud, frankly, on all sides of the aisle, whenever a result shows up that they don't like. And the fact of the matter is, while you've got a lot of Republicans claiming voter fraud and not able to actually show any evidence to support it, when it comes to the results that come off these machines, it's hard to argue that they are not fraudulent, since it can't be proven in most cases one way or the other. That's very troubling.
And so we're having people shouting fraud in a crowded election here.
Yeah, exactly. And I also like to, you know, and for good reason, but I'd like to pick up on a point that that Bob had mentioned just before we went to the break, if you don't mind. He had
said...
Yeah,
please. We're talking with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com and Bob Fetrakis of freepress.org. I'm Harvey Wasserman. This is the Soarotopia Green Power and Wellness Show. For the rest of the election season, we're going to be talking about elections stolen and otherwise. Brad, proceed, please.
Well, I'm curious because he had mentioned, you know, this idea that Democrats, in order to win, Democrats just have to, you know, turn out in such huge numbers that it's impossible to steal the election. And, you know, I hear a lot of people say that. I understand there is a certain amount of truth to it, but I think the fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter how many people show up. If you can flip the results of an election on a voting system in about 30 seconds time with very little possibility of detection, and there's no way for the citizens to actually, you know, get at those results and determine whether they're right or wrong, you know, I don't know that a huge turnout makes a difference. We saw a huge turnout back in 2004 in Ohio. And, you know, yet they were still able to game the system. So, you know, I hear that a lot that, you know, oh, if there's just such huge numbers, it'll be impossible for bad guys to steal the election. I'm not quite so sure that's true. I think it's harder because, you know, the evidence is, you know, appears to be on one side, and then if the results come up on another, it's going to raise questions. But, you know, I don't think turnout numbers have all that much to do with whether a vote can be, with whether an election could be stolen or not.
Well, we had an instance in Ohio, and Bob, maybe you can talk about this. Prop 1 in 2005, we had an election reform referendum. All the polls showed an overwhelming victory. And yet, Bob, you want to go into it and tell us the story?
Well, you know, they were supposed to be winning, you know, in some cases by 26 votes on an issue. And, you know, all three of these propositions were supposed to pass that would have done it. And the vote results appeared to be almost the exact opposite of every poll in the state, including incredibly accurate polls that the Dispatch was legendary from that came out right before the election. And everyone accepted, well, that, you know, it just might have been a last-minute surge. Statistically,
what was the percentage? The percentage of the flip in that particular referendum was staggering. Do you remember the percentage?
Oh, no, I mean, you had, I mean, in the case of... it was more than, you know, 36 points in some cases. I mean, it just couldn't happen. It's like stuff that was passing overwhelmingly, you know, with well over 60% of the vote suddenly was losing by that same amount.
And nobody questioned it except the Free Press.
Well, in the state of Ohio, I mean, in fact, the Dispatch, which hasn't endorsed a Democrat since Woodrow Wilson, they're a German family, and he kept us out of war, has never endorsed a Democrat since 1916, fell over itself denouncing its polls, which had been written about in American political science journals as absolutely accurate. I do also agree with Brad that, and I don't agree with the operatives that say this, but the unspoken word here in Ohio that no one's really talking about, we spoke a little bit at the Free Press, is that the swollen rolls of illegitimate voters are all in rural Republican-controlled counties. You know, Woods County has 108% of the eligible voters. Four counties, including Hancock, for example, which are all rural Republican-controlled counties, don't purge anyone. So all the massive purges are occurring in the big cities. And in some cases, like Cleveland, it's white Democrats worried about controlling the county that seem to go along, as did, you know, Mr. Wu there in 2004, the technocrat that ran Cuyahoga County Board of Elections. So the purges are all occurring in the urban counties, and the voter rolls are absolutely distorted, bloated. The cyber dead can easily vote throughout rural Ohio, and the place to really worry is in the west of Ohio, and particularly in the southwest, because they've got more voters registered because they don't purge than they have eligible voters.
So, and you're thinking, as most people are, that the purges in Ohio are really aimed at those of those people guilty of VWB voting while black, or VWH voting while Hispanic. Brad, have you seen a pattern of these purges nationwide that would might affect the election? We do have the Brennan Center saying that photo ID could result in as many as 10 million Americans being stripped from the voter rolls. Have you seen, do you see that, and do you see other symptoms of this on a scale large enough to flip the election to Mitt Romney?
Well, yeah, the places that you're seeing it, these voter purges in particular, you know, at the last minute, all of a sudden, these Republican secretaries of state are declaring that there's all these non-citizens that are casting votes and all of these dead people that are casting votes. Never mind, they've had 2 years to actually look at their voting rolls and do some cleaning of those rolls. But now, you know, now that we're, what, a little over a month out of the election, now all of a sudden they want to send notes to send letters to thousands of legal voters telling them that they are dead and or that they are non-citizens and they are going to be removed from the rolls unless they, you know, get in there and somehow fight to prove that they are, you know, not dead or not non-citizens. And as a matter of fact, that's what's happening, is that, you know, for example, in Colorado, they just sent out a note, they sent out thousands of letters telling voters that they were non-citizens, and what do you know, all of a sudden, hundreds and hundreds of these non-citizens said, wait a minute, I'm a citizen, what the hell are you talking about? Same thing happened down in Texas, where all of these dead voters had this terrible habit of actually being alive in places like Harris County, which is Houston, a big Democratic voting center in Texas. So the Florida governor, Rick Scott, did the same thing, claimed there was hundreds and thousands of non-citizen voters on his roll, and the Brad blog bothered to actually investigate who it was that he was removing from the rolls, who it was that he was claiming were non-citizens. And we were able to find, out of more than 11.4 million voters in the state of Florida, that so far they have been able to find exactly 9 non-citizen voters from that search, and that so far only one of them actually cast a ballot, and yet they were more than willing to toss hundreds of thousands off the rolls. So you're seeing a very targeted effort in those states, Florida, Iowa, Colorado, the states that, you know, Mitt Romney really needs if he's going to have any chance of winning this election. That's where you're seeing these phony purges going on.
Yes, and of course in Colorado we have a referendum on legalizing marijuana. We have one in Washington and Oregon as well. It's going to be very interesting. In California, you had a referendum on marijuana, which many people think was stolen. That was, what, 2-4 years ago? A very, very close vote. Also on gay marriage, both those went the wrong way.
And that was another. And those were perfect examples of cases of elections that were supposed to go one way according to the polls, and then they didn't go that way when the actual results came out, and nobody bothers to question the actual results that came out. They all ask themselves, oh my goodness, how could those pre-election polls have been so terribly wrong?
Yeah.
That's
now,
the pattern. That's why I say it doesn't matter, you know, in some cases, if you have huge turnout. The media tend to believe whatever the results say. You know, never mind what the pre-election polls say, never mind what the exit polls say, never mind what your own eyes tell you when you see huge turnout. They're going to go with whatever the computers tell them, and they're not going to bother to check whether those computers got it right or got it wrong. That's a very dangerous vector for stealing an election, if you ask me.
Well, listen, we have 7 minutes left. Bob, you're a PhD in political science. Brad, you've been in this game a long time. I want to hear you explain exactly what is the monitoring system that would tell us whether or not in the swing states a vote count has been flipped electronically. Now, Bob and I have a piece out today. Will 9 GOP governors put Mitt Romney in the White House? This is the question. And I actually ran into a well-known reporter. Question, how can the public check the electronic vote count in a state with electronic voting machines to make sure it's accurate? Bob, what is the mechanism for doing that?
There's really not one universal mechanism in the state. In Franklin County, there's a little ballot by the side that you could look at, but whether or not the person it says you voted for, that little piece of thermal paper, is the one actually recorded internally, you don't know. Yeah, you just don't know. And
all right, so that's the answer. We don't know.
And not only that, John Kasich actually had votes flipped on him when he was in Congress, which the candidate he ran against actually gave him back because he was losing 80% of his home base. So he knows about vote flipping.
Brad Friedman, if let's we have basically nine swing states or so in this election that have a Republican governors: Florida, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, New Mexico, and Arizona. If they, all these states, at the election time, Barack Obama is ahead in the polls, and then he loses enough of these states through the electronic vote to put vote count to put Mitt Romney in the White House, what is our method of double-checking the accuracy of the electronic vote count in those states?
If you're dealing with touchscreen voting systems, they're 100% impossible to check, period. That's why I've been yelling and screaming about those for so long. A touchscreen system is 100% unverifiable, period. Paper ballots can be verified, but nobody bothers to do them. There are a few things, though, that voters can do to try to make it at least a bit harder to game these systems. One, stick around when the polls close. Bring your cell phones and your cameras and your video cameras and take photographs of the little poll tapes, the results tapes that print off the machines at the end of the night, so the results can't change between the time they're printed out at the polling place and the time they're announced online or by the Secretary of State.
Will the poll workers allow you to do that?
What's that?
Do you have the legal right to do that?
Absolutely.
Is that a protected right?
Absolutely. After the polls close, those are public records, and absolutely, you can go in and take photographs of what you see while the poll closes. No question about it.
Except in Franklin County, sadly, there was a computer glitch in programming, which meant none of them were printed out in one of our last elections.
All right, we're going to continue this. Brad, if you can come back with us another time, we'd love to have you back. This is an incredibly important discussion. We're hearing Pete Seeger in the background. We're going to have to dismiss it for another week. Bob, I hope you'll stick with me for the rest of the time through the election, and Brad, we'd love to have you back. So this has been Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog, Bob Fitrakis of TruePress.org, another hour-long show on the election protection in 2012 that has flown by. We'll see you next Monday at 3 p.m. here at the Progressive Radio Network. We're moving ahead, and we hope you're coming with us.
Well, we multiplied. We needed more. The rich got rich.